Excellent, excellent worship this morning. Not only did I hear it from the stage, I heard it from the congregation, and you guys sounded so good today. And what a blessing it is to come together as a body and to worship together. Amen? Amen. To raise our voices together to only one, an audience of one, and that's God Almighty. So we're just thankful. Thank you, worship team, for doing such a tremendous job. Always working hard and being prepared to bring us such good worship. We appreciate you so much. Our memory verse today, Romans 12:5. In the same way, we who are many are one body and individuals. Amen. Y'all got it. I'm choking up here a little bit. Let me get my water. I apologize. Sorry. Y'all did very good on that. I'm telling you, I had it memorized. I get up here and I'm a calf looking at a new gate. I apologize for sipping water and all that. I hate when guys do that. I know it's supposed to look cool, but I can't figure out how to make it look cool. I think I need a stool or something. Anyway, so the title of today's message, we're in Experiencing God, week 10, 2 weeks to go. Are y'all excited about that? What a journey we've been on. And I have heard so many people tell me that God has spoken to them and shown them things that they've never seen before, and that it's had such an impact on their lives, and that's what it was all about, right? And just to hear people talk about what a blessing it's been to learn these principles of experiencing God. And so we're in week 10, and week 10 is truly going to be applicable to us, and we'll see that later in the message. But I titled this message, Why Does God Still Want Churches? Why does He still want churches? I mean, I hear the people that say, well, you know, I can worship God out on my boat on Sunday morning. You know, I hear people talk about, well, I watch it on TV and all this. But I want to tell you this, is that the church is ordained by God, and it's going to stand until Christ's return. And so we're going to learn today why the church is so important and how we are a part of that body and our importance in that body, that ordained vehicle of God for sharing the gospel throughout the world. So why does God still want churches? Our memory verse, Romans 12:5, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open your word this morning, once again, as we are learning how to experience you, Lord, I pray that your word would speak truth to our hearts. Lord, you know what every person here stands in need of today. And even though I preach one message, the Holy Spirit can preach messages to every individual according to what each one needs to hear. And I'm so thankful that we can trust that. I'm so thankful that it's not left up to me to stand up here and do something, that I can trust the Holy Spirit preaching through me and through your word to speak to the hearts of everyone according to their greatest needs. And I thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, all members are important to the body. The only way you would not be important to the body is by not discovering what your place is in the body. Everybody needs to do that. You know, this week, at the beginning of Experiencing God this week, you may remember the story. We were introduced to Iva Bates, a righteous woman whose prayers were powerful and effective. And here's how Henry Blackaby said it. He said, one of the greatest prayers I have ever known. Our church was the body of Christ, and we called Iva a knee. God put her in the body as a powerful prayer, Iva. You know, to be a complete body, for this fellowship of believers to be a complete body, we need evangelists, we need disciplers, we need preachers, we need teachers, we need prayers, we need singers, we need servers, givers, greeters. We need builders. We need administrators. You know what? We need diaper changers. We need that right now probably more than a lot of other things. We need a lot of parts to make up this body. You know, I remember when my first full-time opportunity in ministry. I've talked about it before, Eastwood Baptist Church, where I became their youth pastor. And Susan was the children's director. And we would work together, and God truly blessed us there. But I'm going to tell you about several people that we couldn't have did it without them. First, there was a guy named Kojak. His real name was Daryl Waddell, but he was bald, and he thought Kojak sounded so much cooler. And Kojak was a jack of all trades. He could do anything. He could build anything. He could fix anything. You know those kind of guys. And he was retired, so he had time on his hands, and he had his band of merry men. He had several other guys that were retired that also had these gifts and abilities. And I mean, they kept our church running. But not only did they just fix things when they were broken, I remember when I became the youth pastor and I asked the pastor, I said, well, what area can I use for the meeting with the youth and doing a youth ministry? And he says, well, you know, above the gym, we have a whole floor above the gym, and it's just storage right now. You can have that. And I remember going up there, and it was just full of junk, and it was dilapidated. But yet, I started dreaming. I started seeing what it could be. I would look in the rooms, and I would see this room and that room. And so when that dream formulated in my mind, I went to Kojak. I said, Kojak, here's what I need you to do. Here's what I need you and your merry men to build for me. And he's like, we'll do it. And I could not throw anything out them because the dream kept getting bigger. And every time I'd throw them another curveball, they're like, we'll do it, we'll do it. I wish I had time to put pictures up on the screen today. It was the same with the children's area. I mean, they're knocking down walls. They're putting new floors down. They're building stages. It was just amazing. And I could have never did that. Needed Kojak and his band of merry men. I think about a lady named Merlene, who was a retired widow. And Merlene it was time for her to get a new vehicle, and she goes to the dealership and she says, I want one of them big fancy conversion vans. And she bought it, and the reason she bought it is she wanted to go around and pick up other widow women that could no longer drive, and it was her little bus ministry that she would bring these women to church every Sunday. She specifically bought that van for that reason. She was also the cook for our first several youth camps before it really got big, when it was just 12 or 20 or whatever. She would come and cook all the food for us, Merlene. And I think about another lady named Jeanette Young, and she was a volunteer secretary in our church office. And she would work part-time several days a week, and she'd come in, and she would work just as hard as if she was a paid staff member. And man, I could just give her all the things, all the administrative duties that I didn't have time to do, the copying and the typing and all this stuff, and she'd just get it done. Here's what I'm saying to you is that we would have never experienced the type of ministry results, hundreds being saved through that time that we was there, if it wasn't for those parts of the body working in unison to support us in our ministry. We would have never experienced what we experienced. So how do we find our place in ministry? Well, the Holy Spirit equips us for the body. And so when, you know, I know that we have a spiritual gifts assessment that if you haven't taken yet, get with Mark. Raise your hand, Mark. And let him know. And when's the next time they're going to go through that? You do it online, and then you come together and you dissect it and you learn about it. So that's coming up. But here's what I want you to understand, that when people are being taught about spiritual gifts, it would be easy for them to look at that and say, oh, God gives me a thing. He gives me the gift of teaching, for example. But see, God doesn't give us a thing. He gives the gift is a person. It's a person. It's the Holy Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. It says, there are diversities of gifts, all kind of gifts in a church, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now listen to this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The gift is a person. And so how that works out, if God calls you to teach, he doesn't give you the gift of teaching. He gives you the Holy Spirit to indwell you, and the Holy Spirit teaches through you. I can't tell you, there's no way to explain what I feel every Sunday morning driving to church. And I have to pray, Lord, do not let me get up here by myself. I need the Holy Spirit to preach through me. If it's left up to me to preach, it would be even worse than probably what it is. It would not be good. There's been times that I've got up and preached and I couldn't feel the Holy Spirit anywhere in the building, and it was just a train wreck. But it's the Holy Spirit in me giving me his gift of preaching so that I can preach. Whatever your gift is, the gift is a person, and he equips you to teach or to serve in whatever way that you serve. His abilities become your abilities. That's a pretty powerful thought. You know, that's how when someone, you know, if you feel like God's calling you to something you never did before, and you go, well, I never did that before. I don't have the gift that necessarily did that. No, you don't. You have the Holy Spirit to do it through you. That's how it works, and that's how we got to look at it. The gift is a person. You know, when you see a spiritual gift being exercised, you're observing a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When our worship team is up here singing, you're observing the Holy Spirit singing through them. When your teacher is teaching you, whatever it may be, it's the Holy Spirit working through that person to enable them with the ability they need to accomplish whatever the task is. Now, you guys that are on committees, I want you to think about that next time you're in your committee meeting. I want you to not think, oh, we're a committee and we got to figure everything out. I want you to think we're a group of people that God's put on this committee, and now he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us in doing the work of this committee. I mean, it flows into everything in the church. It's not just the ministerial gifts. It's not just the preaching and the teaching and the worshiping. It's every gift that is needed in a church is the gift of the Holy Spirit working through you to accomplish the work that he's called you to do. God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to equip us in the work he asks us to do. And this is not just for preachers and teachers and singers. And I want to show you an example of that. I think about the artisans gifted to build the tabernacle. This is in Exodus 31. And I want to read verses 1 through 5. Follow with me. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Beelzebul, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Do you hear that? I have filled him, I've called him, and I've filled him with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. God filled you know, I have to have one of these moments every message, don't I? Beelzebul, thank you. God filled Beelzebul with the Holy Spirit's artistic abilities. Think about that. God gave the Holy Spirit to every believer in the church so that every part is a ministry in the body. Every part, whatever it is, cleaning, cooking, building, administration, greeters, parking attendants, whatever it is that we need for this church, the Holy Spirit fills us with the ability to do that ministry. And so we're to function together as a body. We're an organism, not an organization. We can't approach a church as an organization that works like any other organization out there where we have certain people making decisions and things like that. We have to see ourselves as an organism, a living, breathing organism. And so everything is needed. And so with that in mind, knowing that we're to function together, I want to give you three things that we got to understand. First, we should recognize one another. In 1 Corinthians 12, 20 through 22, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. We should recognize the necessity of everyone here, the importance of everyone here. When a member's missing, we should pray and ask God to show us wisdom in how we can bring that member back into the body. When someone's new and they come in and they begin to attend church and participate and they join the church, we should be asking, Lord, why did you bring this person into this body? What are they going to bring to this body that we need from them that we don't already have? Thank you for bringing them. Show us how they're going to be serving in the body. So we should recognize one another. Also, we should care for one another. It goes on in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25, 26. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Listen, we should care for one another. There shouldn't be any schisms in the body. There shouldn't be anything separating any of us. We should care for one another. We should pay attention to one another. We should honor one another. We should rejoice together. When someone seems discouraged, we need to be praying, Lord, how can we encourage them? When someone gets on our nerves, see, I know y'all know what I'm talking about because so many of you laughed. We should pray for them and us. Right? And us. When someone rejoices, we should be rejoicing with them. We should care about one another. And then thirdly, we should stir up one another. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another. Stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, when we sense that someone feels like quitting, that's when we should be trying to stir them up. No, don't give up yet. You hang on. You keep coming. You let me pray for you. We should stir them up. When we're not faithfully participating, can I tell you something? That can discourage the rest of the body. We're doing exactly the opposite of what we're told in Hebrews to do. Let us consider one another. I mean, when you start drifting away from this church, consider how is that impacting everybody else? You got friends here. You got people who love you here. And all of a sudden you start drifting away. People are wondering, where are they at? It's often that people come to me and say, hey, have you seen so-and-so lately? And I'm like, no, we need to follow up. We need to find out what's going on with them. We need to reach out to them. We should stir up one another, encourage one another. Sometimes it's not easy to be faithful to church and to serving in a church and to the body of Christ, and we should always be looking at how we could encourage one another. Can I tell you where I get most encouraged every week? It's on Wednesdays at the prayer meetings, 10 a.m., 6:30 p.m. I mean, those people come in there and they stir me up. Because I know they're there to pray, and I know that they're there, and they're thinking about people, and they're doing all these things. They're recognizing one another. They're caring for one another. They're encouraging each other. Man, I get my cup filled on Wednesdays in these prayer meetings. We need to stir each other up. Now, the body functions by God's will in His timing. The only way to know God's will and timing as a church body is by functioning in unity. We are given a very clear example of this in Acts chapter 6. I want you to turn there
because we're about to have to apply these principles as a church in coming days. So I want to make sure that you see how this works. Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the first thing we see that the body is growing. In verse 1, it says, "Now in those days when the numbers of the disciples were multiplying." So there, the body's growing, it's multiplying. Then we see in the rest of that verse, there was a complaint. It said, "There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." And so then we see that the whole body was needed to deal with this. You know, it takes more than a pastor being in charge. It takes more than just a few leaders making all the decisions. It even takes more than a simple majority voting yay or nay. That's not how a body works. I mean, if your body is sick and you say, "Well, fellas, y'all want to take a vote on if we want to be well or not?" No, yes. I mean, that's not how a body works. The whole body was needed. Verse 2, "Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples," and apparently they all came, "and said, 'It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.'" You know what they're saying? Is, guys, we can't do everything. This 12 can't do it all. We're trying to focus on the word. We're trying to focus on the teaching. We're trying to focus on the discipling. But yet there's this problem here that needs to be addressed. And we need somebody to step up and solve this problem. And so then they offer a solution in verse 3. It says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, with whom we may appoint over this business." So he says, seek out from among you 7 men who we can appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves to continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We'll continue to do what we're called to do. And now we need to call some men to take care of this work over here. And so the body was in agreement. Verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude." That's how they knew that it was God's will and his timing. Because the body had come into agreement. They were in unity. That's how you know as a church, when it's God's will and God's timing. So many times churches split over trying to make a decision, and instead of waiting until the Holy Spirit gets everybody on the same page, what they do is they say, "I'll take my ball and go home. You go and do your thing, we'll go and do our thing. A church will split, another church will pop up somewhere else," and none of that honors God. But what they did was they made sure that everybody was in agreement, and look at the results. The results was dramatic kingdom growth. Verse 7, "Then the word of God spread." Don't we want that? Sure we do. "And the number of disciples multiplied." We want that. They greatly increased in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. I love that passage because it blows my mind every time I read it. Jewish priests were coming to Christ and joining the body because they were seeing how the body was functioning at 100%. And they're like, "We don't understand it, but we got to be a part of it." And they surrendered to the lordship of Christ. Listen to me, church. Here's how this applies to us. In about a month, we'll be calling the entire church together to a function, and we're going to ask you to have this kind of unity. And this is going to be when we give the presentation of our transition team of the future vision for our church. And I want to ask you to begin to pray now as a body, as we know that that's coming a few weeks down the road, and we'll let you know next week. We'll have a date and a time and all that. And just know that when we call the church together, it's got to be like this. The whole body is needed. It's like the multitudes showed up. The disciples showed up. The body showed up. So when we have this meeting, we want you all to show up, because we're going to stand up as a transition team, and we're going to share that vision of the future of this church. And we need to be praying now that when we come into that meeting, that we can hear how God has been working and moving among the transition team. Now think about this. They called seven men to do that work. And then they said, we trust you men to do that work. And the men that did that work did it well. And so much so that the church began to grow. And so it takes a part of trust in the body to say, we set them apart. Do y'all remember 8 months ago, you set this team apart. And we've been meeting ever since, and now it's time to trust that God has worked through them to prepare us to move forward as a body of believers. So we've got to apply that those principles we see in Acts chapter 6 there. There was the whole body was needed, a solution was offered, the body was in agreement, and the results was kingdom growth. That's what we're looking for, kingdom growth. Now, here's what I want you to understand. We are the body, but Christ is the head. Christ is the head of the body. Philippians 4:13 tells us we can do all things through Christ. But John 15:5 tells us that apart from Christ, the head, the body can do nothing. Is that not true with anybody's body? I mean, you need this, you need this right here, right? You need the head. No other plan works. Designating a pastor as mediator between God and church does not work. Having a small group of leaders making all the decisions does not work. Even debating in a meeting and relying on a majority vote does not work. That's not how a body functions. A body functions all together. The only plan that works is that we function as a body. If we're functioning as a body, we need the whole body to sense what God is saying. That's why when we have important meetings, like the meeting that's coming up for the transition team to give their presentation, the whole body needs to be there to understand that they hear what God is saying, to be able to ask questions, to be able to share their thoughts, so we hear from the whole body. The head brings the body into unity to act according to his will and timing. And so it may be that in a church where you're at odds about something and they say, well, we'll take a vote in a business meeting. No, that's not the right way to do it. If a church is split over something, it's let's pray and let's ask the head to bring the body in alignment with what the head is wanting to do. And by the time you ever come to a vote, and we do vote on some things, really, I don't even like the word vote. I like the word affirmation, but we do vote on things at times. But by the time we do, there's been enough meetings, and there's been enough prayer, and there's been enough leading of the Holy Spirit that we're always in agreement by the time we take any kind of a vote. I think that's how it should be. I think that's how a body works. A body has to function together. So let me ask you this question. Do you believe that God is able to bring our church into this kind of unity? Okay, thank you. I do. I've been in churches and I've seen this kind of unity. I believe if we commit to it, God will bring us to it. The idea of functioning as a body together in unity. I believe God can do that. But for some, that's a crisis of belief. You could tell by the response when I asked the question. It was quiet. For some people, you've probably never been in a church that functioned that way before. And you think, wow, how can you wait to do something until everybody agrees? Well, if you're a body, you do. You wait until the head brings everything together, and that becomes God's will and his timing, is when everybody is in agreement. Knowing this is how a body should function, we must pray and ask God to help us. To help us. I say that because maybe in the future we might face some challenging decisions as a body. Well, we need to already be praying now. Lord, help us to be such a body that we're in unity on everything and that we understand when we're being led by the Holy Spirit, when the head, Jesus Christ, is pointing the way, that we would all recognize that and we would function together to go in those directions. The head brings the body into unity to act according to his will and timing. That's why we need Christ. That's why we need prayer. You know, God's able and he desires to bring our church. He desires to bring this body into the type of clarity that I'm talking about. Now, I want you to think about the transition team again, knowing that that's on the horizon. 14 members. They have worked. They have prayed. They have met together many, many, many times, spent hours in a room. It's almost like 12 angry men sometimes. No, I'm kidding. Look, y'all are getting too somber on me now. Just lighten up, okay? But listen to me. 14 members, they prayed, they've worked together for 8 months to seek God's face, to seek His will, to say, Lord, what is this church about? What is it that you want us to do? What is the focus and the direction that you want us to go in? And here's the thing is that now they stand fully united, those 14 people, all in agreement about what the future direction of our church is. God did that. We had a lot of conversations. We wasn't always in agreement on things, but God led us to come to this place so that we can stand before you, the body, and say, this is what we feel after 8 months of prayer and work and meeting. This is what we have heard God consistently say to us. And so we need to be ready to receive that. You know, we can be proud of this team. Because I believe the church is going to see, when they hear that presentation, I believe they're going to see God's fingerprints all over the work that we've done. I believe you'll see that. And this is how God intends a body to work. Everybody come into agreement. Listen to Romans 15, 5 through 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another. That's the body. According to Christ Jesus, that's the head, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's unity. One mind, one mouth. Glorify God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So to understand why God designed it this way, listen to Jesus' prayer in John 17, 23. He said, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So did you catch the two things? Why is this way? So that we can be perfect in one body. And so that the world would look upon that and they would see Christ shining brightly through this body. And that's how it was when they come together in Acts 6. And it said that the results were many people becoming disciples. Many people joining the body. Priests of the Jewish religion joining the body of Christianity. Why? Because it's designed that we would be perfect as one. And that the world would know that Christ has been sent and that He has made a way. The body needs to be 100%. That's what we're saying. And when it comes to our human body, let me ask you this. Your human body, you want 100%? Are y'all with me today? Am I preaching to myself? That's an easy question. I'm going to ask you again. Do you want your body to be 100%? Yes. And up, thank you. In other words, you don't want to be missing an arm. You don't want your kidneys failing, right? You don't want to have your hearing failing, whatever it may be. You don't want to have a bunion on your toe, for Pete's sake. You want it 100%. When it's not 100%, what do? Go to the doctor, try to get it fixed, right? The body should be 100%. All members functioning together as one. All members doing their part. When some of these organs shut down in your body, you wind up in the hospital. You want all members of the body doing its part. Listen, when one or more members of your body is not functioning correctly, it's labeled as a disability. Now apply that to the church. When one or more of the members of the church is not functioning correctly, you're a disability to the church. We need to be functioning correctly as members of the body of this church. Those disabilities, they say they're blind, they're deaf, they're broken, they're paralyzed, they're unhealthy. That's what the world says about a church that's not functioning as a body. It's functioning as an organization instead of an organism. And they look at that church and they go, man, they're broken. Man, don't ever go in there. But when we learn to function 100% as a body of believers and Christ is the head, people will begin to take notice. They'll begin to see things going on in this place. They'll begin to understand that Jesus must be here. You know why? Because they'll see us out in the community, serving the community, loving the community, reaching people in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to start doing that. We're going to start doing that. That's going to be a big part of the transitions team's presentation. Is how we're going to go out into the community and reach the community for Christ. And we're going to become, but we need to be 100% to accomplish the things that the transition team has put together. We need 100% of the body, a healthy body. Here's something you're going to hear from me probably from now on until I'm gone, is we need to all be 100%ers. We need to be 100%ers. Here's what I'm talking about. You need to be, this body, every member needs to be praying. We need 100% of this body praying. Now, here's someone that you may not want to hear. We need 100% of this body tithing. You can't do ministry if all your money's going to maintenance. All of our money, it seems like it goes to maintenance. There's nothing left to do ministry. Why? Because some people are robbing God. The Old Testament says, will a man rob God? And the man says, what do you mean rob you, God? He says, you keeping my tithe in your wallet. Will a man rob God? Listen, if we don't become 100% tithers, we'll never accomplish the ministry God intends for this church to accomplish. Mark it down. And not only 100% praying, 100% tithing, but 100% serving. Now listen, I can't follow you around and check on your praying. And I can't follow you, I can't, and I'm not going to look at the checks to see who's tithing. That's between you and God. But one thing I am going to do, I'm going to make sure that everybody is involved in at least one ministry in this church. We're going to be 100% serving. And you say, well, what about our shut-ins? Our shut-ins, we're going to put them on the prayer team or the card-writing team. But you know, if we point to the shut-ins and say, well, we can't be 100% because then you're just deflecting. The obvious is that you're not doing something and you don't want to do something, and so you're trying to make an excuse why you're not doing anything. There's a lot of people that need to step up and say, God, you've given me the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm a part of this body. What does the Holy Spirit want to do through me for this body? What does the Holy Spirit want to do? And we got to answer that question. 100% praying, 100% tithing, 100% serving. Man, you get that going, and we'll be in agreement in every meeting we take, because we'll be too busy thinking about ministry and thinking about God to worry about arguing over maintenance issues. Man, I hope I'm not preaching to myself this morning. Do you want this church to have a future? Well, I'm telling you as straight as I can tell you, this is the only way it's going to happen. You can have this church has a future. It's just, what is it going to be? Is it going to be a God-honoring future or a slow march to the grave future? It's up to, this is where it gets real. This is where y'all say, I don't know if I like him anymore. This is where it gets real. Listen, next month we're going to have a presentation of this hardworking transition team, and it's on spot, it's spot on, it's on target. I hope that I even get all the contents in everybody's hands ahead of that. We're having brochures printed right now to allow y'all to have in your hand what we believe should be the future of this church.
And you need to be praying now, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Begin to prepare my heart now. Begin to show me now what you have for me to do as we go forward in your vision for this church. Where would you have me serve? Where would you have? And you know, here's the amazing thing. I'll tell you this, and I promise I'll hush. I told the transition team when we first started meeting, I said, now you watch, here's what will happen. Before we ever get to the point of doing a presentation to the church, a lot of things you come up with in this room will already be happening. And it's going to amaze you that when you get that presentation, you're going to look through it and you're going to say, wait a minute, we're already doing a lot of this stuff. Yeah, we are. But you know what? I went through the whole list the other day again, and there was only three things on a very long list. There was only three things that was happening before the transition team started meeting. So already God has begun to turn this church around. Already ministry is beginning to go to work in this church. Things are beginning to happen. Stuff is beginning to become more of what God wants it to be. But when we give that presentation and we're all looking at that brochure, that's where you're going to have a sheet of paper and you're going to say, I'm going to sign up for this. I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to be a part of this. And we're going to, Mark and I are making a spreadsheet. We're going to know where everybody in this church is serving. And if you're not serving, don't be surprised when I call you and say, hey, let's get you plugged in. You're a part of this body, and you're not functioning. And we're hurting because of that. Let's get you plugged in. I know that I can tell by the response that's more than any of y'all want to hear this morning, so I'll just go ahead and bring it to a close. And we'll have our time of response. Now, I've said a lot. This has been a message for the church. And now you got to go home and pray about it, I can tell. And I want you to do that because we can't lag behind on God. We can't. I pray often, often, often. This is my prayer. Lord, do not let me get ahead of you and do not let me lag behind, but let me watch for your footsteps and let me step right behind you and follow you every step of the way. And we got to be ready to step as a church when we see his footsteps. And so I encourage you with that. Now, here's the thing. You may be here visiting today and thinking, what have I fell into? And that's okay, because we're sincere about doing great things for God, being a light in this world, and we're working towards that. So you walked in on a little bit of the messy conversation, and that's okay. But I want to tell you this, is that anybody can be a part of this body. Anybody, Jewish priest, can be a part of this body. Anybody can come to Jesus. And Jesus is waiting with his arms open wide. And I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know how you've suffered over the last few months. I don't know what your state of affairs is. But I know this, is that God will use difficulties in our life to bring us to him. I didn't surrender to him until he made my life so difficult that I had nowhere else to turn. And maybe you're here today and you're at that place and you think, you know what, I've got to change. There must be something else. There must be something more. And there is, and it's Jesus Christ. And he wants to save you. He died on the cross. He paid for all your sins so that you could be set free. The reason we struggle is because we have a sin problem in this world. Our world is broken because of sin. I don't have to convince you of that. I'll let the news do that for me. But God is mending hearts. He's setting captives free. So whatever you need today, you come to this altar and you receive it. If you want to receive Christ today, you're like, I'm tired of running. I need something new. I need hope. Come and speak to me about that. We can pray together. And right here, right now, you can pray and ask Jesus in your heart. For all you that are in this body, all you members, you need to start praying. Because we're about to head out. I told you when I first come here, we got a taxi down the runway a while. Well, this plane's about to take off. And you're either on it or you're going to get in your car and drive back home. And when this plane takes off, people are going to get so caught up in ministry
They're going to get so excited about what God can do. They're going to be going out into the community and meeting people, and their hearts are going to be stirred, and their lives are going to be impacted by it, and the community is going to be impacted by it. You don't want to miss out on that. It'll change your whole life. And we'll talk more about that next week. Stand and let's sing.
For joining us online this morning. We would love to see you next time in person on Sunday mornings at 9:15 a.m. for our Sunday school class and at 10:30 a.m. for our worship service. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Ciao!